This is Pierre Bouvier, lead singer of the band Simple Plan. I could sing a song for you, Wine 30, with Andrew and Lindsay. Here we go. Andrew and Lindsay hosting Wine 30. Andrew and Lindsay. Through all the best and many more years to come tonight. I'm just a kid. Many more years to come. Peace.
Hello and welcome back after a lovely holiday. This is Wine 30 with Andrew and Lindsay.
And Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas. A tribute to the wine we are drinking today. Christmas, vintage 2020. Pinot Grigio.
I love it. It's a very like prismy, like pastel rainbow bottle.
It's a product of Italy. What does that mean exactly? Does it mean that the grapes came from Italy? The vines came from Italy?
I think it's generally the grapes are from Italy. Like they may have like done all the barreling and stuff here, but or they could have done the barreling there too. Maybe the wine itself is from Italy and then it was bottled here.
Yeah, it does say imported and bottled by Wink. So I will have to keep an eye.
I wonder if they just ship it over in barrels and then like Wink then bottles it.
Yeah. It's got a 13.3% alcohol, which is actually on the lighter side, I think, for...
I mean, for a Pinot Grigio, that's pretty typical, I think. I think 13 to 13 and a half for Grigio is...
I was going to say 12, so maybe a little heavier for a white wine. I think reds usually come out to like 14 or 15.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. I think it's a really good wine.
I was scared. I've been putting off drinking this wine because Pinot Grigio sometimes are a little bit on the sweet side, and I don't find this one to be... necessarily sweet.
Yeah.
This is more like, I'd say like light Meyer lemon.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely getting that. And I'm not getting like tart lemon. I'm getting sweet.
That's Meyer why I lemon. Say like Meyer yeah. lemons are like a little bit less like, I don't want to say like pungent, like potent. Like they're more of like a subtle tartness.
Yeah. I like that. I prefer that lemon actually. Meyer. What's the other lemon called?
I don't know what the other one's called. I just know that one of my first favorite wines when I was starting to drink wine was the Cupcake Sauvignon Blanc, and which at now I would not drink. But on the bottle, it was always like hints of Meyer lemon and key lime.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't like, drink the cake? Cake, I feel like mixed decent.
I said cupcake.
Oh, cupcake.
You're thinking layer cake.
I'm thinking layer cake.
Layer cake, I still enjoy a good layer cake wine.
Layer cake makes good wine.
Actually, cupcake makes good wine, but at this point, it's so overproduced. Like, they just, like, got picked up by so many stores and stuff that they started,
quality.
Like...
Can't control the quality of it. Yeah.
Like, it turns out, like, that Ménage à Trois or whatever that brand is, that you also see at, like, every CVS and every Rite-Aid and every Target and, like, everywhere. Like, Cupcake kind of fell into that.
So did... What's another one? Barefoot is another
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah. See
Do not buy Barefoot.
Barefoot, I feel like, used to be, like, so-so. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I'll tolerate it. And now, like, I can't even drink it.
Do you remember when Naked Wines came into Napa?
Yeah.
We were living there, and it was just so strange because they're like, we're from England. Like, you know, you meet these guys and all that stuff, and now you're hearing about, like, Naked Wines IPO.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how the heck did Naked Wines get an
like,
IPO?
Like, they were on whatever... What were we watching? It wasn't CNN. It was some like news thing where they were talking about all the stocks and stuff, though. And like the Naked Wines guy was on there.
Yeah.
When we were in Disneyland.
I know. I'm like, cool. Good for them.
Yeah.
Their wines are all right. I've had it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like pretty much any winery, I'll find at least a wine that I like.
Except for what about like Behringer?
I feel like I've had like an like a tolerable Behringer, probably for cooking, but
yeah, I feel like Behringer is just like a very cheap, like cheaply processed, like doesn't not a lot of attention paid. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I haven't had a Behringer in so long because I just know that that's on the cheaper end. But
what's the one? It's like Stella something. That's one I can't do because all of the wines are sweet.
Oh, Stella. 14 Horses, I feel like, was overproduced as well.
Yeah, it got to that point. I don't know if they still are.
I remember trying it when they first came out, but now they're just everywhere. And I'm like,
I'm trying to remember. Is that the one? There's someone who lives in our neighborhood who did like Sauvignon Blanc, like they own a farm and they did Sauvignon Blanc. And it may have been 14. What is it? 14 Hands, right? Is what it's called.
Oh, 14 Hands. Yeah.
I think that they did their 2020 Sauvignon Blanc from their farm. Like,
did
all
I say
the grapes.
14 horses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has horses on the label. I think that it's that. I think it's that brand that their Sauvignon Blanc is.
Yeah, we have a winery that's really popular here called Bogle.
Yes.
So that, and they like source all over, I'm pretty sure.
We have a few popular ones in this area. Bogle's probably one of the biggest and closest to us.
I would say Bogle, in my humble opinion, is very similar to Behringer.
Bogle, I would say, is on par with like the Ménage à Trois, like cupcake kind of like that.
It's like
$10 wine, but it's really worth like $5.
Like mass produced. It's like $2 Chuck, but $2 Chuck's got a better nice story behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a nice story, but.
I mean, it's a story.
He undersold his wine because his wife. This is just rumor, but he undersold his wine and like lost money on the winery because he divorced his wife and he didn't want her
to get any money.
Yeah. So he like mass sold his wine for really cheap.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, also really crappy if the wife didn't do anything wrong and he's just
a rumor. Just a rumor.
So what would you consume this with?
I'd consume this with what we had today.
That's what I was going to say. We did like
barbecue shrimp.
We did shrimp with like that Japanese barbecue. Like he had marinated it in it a little bit. And then we cooked it up with some like of those brown rice ramen noodle things.
Honestly, artichoke.
And artichoke.
Yeah.
Artichoke is just good with everything.
I think so.
And I made an aioli with like the Green Goddess seasoning and some hot sauce and stuff. So.
It's interesting that you say aioli. I mean, I agree that that's what it's supposed to be, but...
Oh, because it doesn't have, like, the lemon and stuff in it?
Well, like, you didn't make it from scratch.
I didn't make it from scratch either.
Yeah.
I basically took mayo and put a bunch of seasonings in it.
Which mayo, that's basically what aioli is. It's just...
I mean...
Aioli is like a fancy word for mayo.
It basically... It's like fancy mayo.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what would your funky, fun... quirky descriptor of this be?
This is like, you know, like if you were to be riding a dolphin in the ocean and like you get like some sea spray in your mouth. And you get the sea spray in your mouth. That's what it's
like. You know what I was going to say?
It's like, ooh. Like,
you know what my descriptor was though?
Yeah.
Huh. I was going to say when you blow water through a pool noodle.
A pool noodle? Oh boy.
You know when you blow water
through a pool noodle? I feel like I don't think I ever did that. Maybe I did.
Everybody did that.
Yeah, I must have.
It's like an elephant or like a blowhole where you just like.
I definitely did that.
Yeah. I don't know. That was just what it reminded me of. And then when you were talking about sea spray, like
pool noodles are like the funniest things. They're just like, whoever thought that up was like...
They're like, let's just get some foam that people can like ride on and hit each other with.
There's probably a good business opportunity. Like all the styrofoam that doesn't get recycled. I feel like pool noodles is a great way to
recycle that. Yeah.
Although they might end up out in the sea. I don't know.
Okay. So what have you been listening to this week?
I don't know. We had family gatherings, so... I don't really remember any music. Do you?
We didn't listen to much music. You did listen to some Spycast on the drive home.
I did. Yeah. Which I like Spycast. I like the idea of it because it's like, ooh, I feel like I'm learning something like that a lot of people don't really know about.
Mm-hmm.
Like CIA, ooh, spycraft, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, well, they probably wouldn't have any information on there that was giving anything away, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like if you go to the International Spy Museum, right, which is where they're from, like you're getting cool info that the average person wouldn't just know, but also not anything that's actually super confidential or anything.
Actually, one of the people on the episode, on one of their episodes, was like, yeah, actually, there's some things in the CIA museum that, or the spy museum in DC that he surprised is there because of how like confidential it is. So,
or it could have been super confidential at the time, but now isn't, because if it's there, it's obviously not.
A lot of times, like, this baffles me a little bit. Sometimes if there's still like an open case or something, or or like sensitive material, they'll put old sensitive material out. Like, and I don't know why that happens with not just spy stuff, but like that happens with corporate, you know, information and stuff like that. Like sensitive information, they'll just like put out there. So, cause I find myself reading stuff like in the dark web. And when I say dark web, I mean like the dark corners of the web,
not the actual dark web.
But yeah, so.
Fun. Spycast.
What have you been listening to? Oh, we did listen to another podcast.
So we started listening to But Am I Wrong by Megan and Melissa. And they have another podcast called Don't Blame Me. And this new podcast is basically people writing in, and they call it ethical shit talking. Because someone will come up with like a story. They'll be like, oh, like there was this guy and he had a girlfriend, but like we flirt all the time and we cuddle all the time. And I tried to see if he would kiss me and like this whole thing, like, am I in the wrong or is he in the wrong kind of thing? And they kind of like ethically talk about like who they think is right or wrong, but they also do it with like news, like pop culture stuff too.
That's actually like a great idea for a podcast, you know, like, just thinking on it, because it's kind of like the undertone a little bit.
I really enjoy it. They're only, I think, 4 or 5 episodes in at this point. And then they also have their Don't Blame Me podcast where people call in. But I really enjoy just like...
like shout out.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm currently doing this thing called Podcast 30, where every day for 30 days, I listen to a different podcast and post it on Twitter and Instagram. So today was day one. So I listened to the It's a Lot podcast with Abby Chatfield, which I've listened to her podcast before, but she was recapping the season finale of The Bachelorette Australia, which I just wanted to hear because she's now dating Conrad.
Yeah, so, that was a fast turnover. Like, she came on the show and then immediately must have gone.
Well, the show,
she might have even met him on the show.
So the show stopped, or the show filmed back in like March, April. Yeah. So it's been, you know, 6+ months since the show was filming.
Right. But she could have met him. He could have still been there or something. I wonder if is there an exit strategy for contestants?
I actually want to figure out how she met him. I feel like Brooke may have introduced them because I know she and Brooke are friends, and she may have been like, oh, like Conrad, like would be Conrad's like such a cool sweet guy.
Yeah. He was probably my favorite contestant.
He's on that my favorite. But season. Abby was also my favorite contestant on her season just because she was
I really liked Abby.
Outspoken.
And I honestly feel like Abby was more of a real person in a weird way.
She was. And I feel like even now, even though she's the most popular person probably to come out of Bachelor Australia, period, even though she has her podcast and stuff and went on some other reality shows, I feel like she's still probably the most real out of like Bachelor contestants that I've seen.
Yeah. I just say that because she's like very open about who she is. Like she's not like trying to be something or trick people or whatnot. Sorry, we were watching Survivor too, right? And there's that one pastor lady who...
like you say lady, she's like 5+ years younger than you. And you're like, that lady.
Is that like...
just weird to call someone...
what's her name anyway?
Shan.
Shan. She got booted, but...
spoiler alert. It's been a week, week and a half. So,
so she got booted, but Lindsay was like, yeah, she's that pastor that said she tricks her.
Where she was like, I have to manipulate these people like I manipulate my congregation or something like that. She said one episode, and I was like, what? Like,
so
what?
She's going around manipulating.
She's an ex gangster.
She's got a cool, I'd like to get her on the podcast.
There was a part of me that whole season where I was like, oh, she thinks she's running things. Oh, she's so bossy. Oh, she wants things to go her way all the time. I'm like, honestly, that's how I would probably be on the show. So I can't really be judgy of that because in an alliance, I'd probably act the exact same way.
Well, old habits die hard, right? So like she may not have, you know, like sometimes you have your thoughts in line and under control. But then when you get into like a very competitive situation like that, some old like habits of manipulating people or whatnot are put to not so good use.
Okay. So now that we mentioned that we were watching Survivor this week, other things we've been watching, I binge watched the new season of Selling Sunset. Andrew's not impressed. We also watched this Netflix movie called, was it A Boy Called Christmas? Also not impressed.
It was all right. It was a good kid movie.
Yeah, I feel like had I been 10 years old, I probably like would have really loved it.
So the problem I had with that movie is they were asking a young kid to have like very complex, like a complex, like a, basically they were having the kid be the like Santa Claus, right? And to me, like Santa Claus, the idea is like, I don't even think the kid really would understand, right? Like, I don't even think you could grasp. I don't know. That's hard. Maybe they grasp it better than we do.
Well, he basically came up with the whole concept of Santa Claus, right? So.
Kind of, yeah.
In a roundabout
way. In a weird way. It just, there, I felt like there was a lot of unexplained connections that I wasn't really seeing.
See, it's based on a book, and I feel like the book was probably wonderful.
Yeah, it could have been the writers. The book could have been really good, yeah.
It's one of those things kind of like if you read like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, how much better it is than the movies.
I actually like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe movies.
Actually, they did a good job on that, on the movies. I probably should have thought of something where they actually
I was like, really I actually thought they did a really good job.
I feel like there's been movies similar to that,
though. Do you remember?
Like The Golden Compass and stuff I've heard. I never watched it because I went to church at the time and they were very against that movie, so I never watched it.
Oh.
So
that, see, that I'm a little older than you, I guess. So, okay, back in the day, my grandmother had VH, she had taped all of the line from TV.
Oh, yes.
So she had taped them and she had all of them on VHS.
That's how we watched them at school.
They were kind of scary. Like the prince, the one with the prince where he like gets kidnapped and is like being.
It's so crazy though, because in elementary school, we had to have like permission slips for any movie that was rated higher than G, right? So we couldn't even watch Aladdin because you needed a permission slip. But somehow they showed us all of the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe movies.
Well,
I guess they didn't have a rating system back when they were filmed.
Those are very religious. Like they're like,
they are definitely based cherished? On religion.
They're like cherished religious stories. So those are like very
C.S. Lewis
ingrained.
If aside from that series, has written some really really good books that are like based on religion, but also just good books in general. There was one called, I want to say it was like Dear Wormwood.
This is like a TV show.
Something. It was like these letters back and forth. Anyway, it was really good and it was based on religion, but it is a good book even if you separate it from religion, which I enjoy. In a book, like it can be based on religion, but I also want to be able to enjoy it not thinking about religion. Yeah,
speaking of religion, I've been reading Mark Twain's perspective on religion. I think it's just called Mark Twain on Religion.
Yeah.
And he's kind of comes off as like a little bit sexist.
I mean, look at like where and when he came up.
Yeah.
Like, I would expect him to be sexist, honestly. I
mean, he didn't die that long ago.
He was during the gold rush times.
Right.
And his real name is not Mark Twain.
Right. But what I'm saying is like he for being like such a progressive thinker, you know, is like you think of things, right? In some, I'm not saying he's bad in any way. He's a great writer, but I feel like his women's rights could have been a little bit better is all I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure.
Based on how I'm reading, how he speaks about it, you know?
Well, he was like gold rush times, right? So that was the same time as like Levi Strauss, who's invented jeans. Right. How weird is that?
I don't know. It's strange.
That like jeans weren't around until the gold rush.
That they used to be royalty, or royalty. They used to be like very prestigious in other countries, right?
Well, they started out, like, he started making them during the gold rush for, like, for gold rush guys out there, like, sifting for gold in the
back when they actually put stuff. Good material into them, yeah.
Like, that's when they started using denim. And then it became popular, I think.
Yeah, and then they, like, thinned it out and stressed it, and now they have, like,
fashion denim.
So,
I think the only other thing that we watched this week that we didn't mention was the Masters of the Universe series on Netflix, the new one. And then for what I'm reading, I'm still reading Startup. I think I should probably finish it today or tomorrow.
Very good. I've been playing a little bit of Town of Salem and Mario Kart.
Oh, I forgot about Mario Kart.
Yeah.
I did not play any Mario Kart, but Andrew's cousin, who is about to turn 7, was like whooping some butt at Mario Kart. Yeah.
And her mom apparently is a Mario Kart champ.
Yeah. I don't think they have a Nintendo Switch. They're going to have to get one now, though.
I know.
And we're going to have to be doing weekly competitions.
That's how I'm starting to feel.
So we are going to take a quick break to talk about our sponsors for this episode. The next one will be sure to bring you lots of laughs and joy. So we will be right back with our hot topics. Ho, 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 ladies. The holidays came early, not only for you, but also for your man here at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products that your man will actually use, including their all-new ultra-premium body wash and 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It's time to give the man in your life the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. Go to manscaped.com and use code WINE30 for 20% off plus free shipping. So, girls, I know that you are tired of finding Santa's beard in your dude's pants. Hairy jingle balls are a thing of the past with Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. I know, sometimes you smell a guy after he's been at the gym and you're like, ooh, that is rough. That's the perfect person to gift Manscaped to this holiday season. And, you know, I saw them at the store the other day, sleek packaging. Like, they make it, like, really manly, really cool, really fierce. And inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin safe technology, so candy cane balls are no more. It's also waterproof, so he can use it in the shower. It's like a gift to yourself with less mess. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, moisturizer, and toner, keeping his North Pole feeling and smelling fresh. Their hygiene bundle also comes with a pair of Manscaped anti-chafing boxers that'll keep his junk feeling fresh all day. The perfect package for his perfect package. Manscaped is going beyond the groin with their new Ultra Premium Body Wash. It's infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep his skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized. It smells so good, I guarantee you're going to want to use his body wash too. They also just launched their new 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, which has key ingredients with benefits that include hydrating, nourishing, conditioning the scalp, and strengthening his hair at the same time. Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products, so get your man, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code WINE30 at manscaped.com. Every guy has Manscaped on their wish list. Get him products he'll actually use this holiday season. Get 20% off with the code WINE30 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code WINE30. Get your man a gift you'll both enjoy, the gift of Manscaped. In life, we're all bound for different things. With Beachbound.com Vacations, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for immersion, bound for rejuvenation, or maybe bound for encountering the unexpected. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I am bound to end up at a poolside bar or maybe even creating my own taco flight. As long as I've got a good view and a good drink in my hand, I'll be as happy as can be. I know I was on beachbound.com today, eyeing a vacation in Bora Bora. You know, we may just be in Bora Bora for 2022. And if you want to find a fun vacation for yourself, Beachbound is the perfect place. With beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you, no matter what you're looking for. Visit beachbound.com to book your next beach vacation. What are you bound for? Slide-in season is finally here, and Blenders Eyewear has all the fresh gear your head needs to get down on the slopes. Blenders' new snow collection is cleaner, colder, and more colorful than ever. With three lines of goggles, extra lenses, helmets, and beanies, Blenders is hooking you up with good vibes all winter. I am obsessed with Blenders sunglasses, and finding out that they now have all of this new stuff for winter makes me even more excited. We're going up north in a few weeks, and I can tell you that beanies will definitely be needed. They're perfect to wear when you're out in the snow, when you're hanging out with family, on the slopes. You know, maybe you just want to hang out in the lodge with a cup of hot cocoa. I don't know. But Blenders has you covered. Unlike expensive big brand shades and goggles that you've lost or smashed in the past, Blenders are actually affordable. So you're not going to cry as much when you inevitably lose them or break them. You know, Andrew's lost or broken so many pairs of glasses. Blenders' team of in-house designers are constantly coming out with new styles and colorways. Choose from the Nebula, Aura, or the all-new Lunar Collection. Whichever goggle you choose, you know that you're getting gear that elevates every move you make on the mountain. And it's not just the sunglasses or goggles. Blenders has prescription glasses, readers, and blue lights. Live life in forward motion with Blenders today. To score 15% off your Blenders purchase, visit blenderseyewear.com/wine30vip. That's blenderseyewear.com/wine30vip for 15% off. Blenders, rocked with pride worldwide. Welcome back.
We are back and with a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Clean balls.
Clean balls.
So speaking of balls, this goes with one of my current event topics today. Salmon sperm is now being used as a plastic alternative in China.
A plastic alternative?
Yes. They are using salmon sperm to make a like eco-friendly alternative to plastic.
Oh. What about like rice plastic?
Like wheat?
Wheat plastic, yeah.
I mean, they're probably doing that. I think they're just trying to look for different ways to make plastic alternatives right now. And they found out that salmon sperm.
That's kind of cool.
Can use.
They must farm a lot of salmon there.
I mean, that's the thing. Like salmon sperm, they're like, oh, eco-friendly alternative. But like, is it eco-friendly to farm a bunch of salmon and then use its sperm for plastic? I mean, it breaks down better.
I mean, I actually think farming salmon, do you think it's better to farm salmon and eat it? To like sustain human, it's almost, I feel, okay, so it's ideas like, is it better to have only, I feel, okay, this is a rough subject. This is a good topic, actually. So salmon and farming salmon, does it lower the amount of wild salmon there is?
If you farm salmon?
Yeah, because one, you have more of the population eating salmon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And two, there's more people hunting for the regular salmon too, right?
Well, the thing is, the more people that eat salmon, the more people go, oh, I only eat wild caught salmon.
Right.
Right. So then it's like, what, do you end up farming a bunch and then wasting it because people will only eat wild caught salmon? Probably not. People probably go through it. I don't know. I think ethically, for me, the issue with like farming animals to eat just in general is like how that affects the animal itself.
Right.
Like, and I don't think it's fair to the animal. Like when you pass cows or when you pass pigs or when you like have fish that are being farmed, like they're not getting to choose that life. Like you're forcing them into a really miserable life just to kill them and eat them.
Well, then also it's kind of begs the question where it's like, if say we can farm cows, mm-hmm. When's the last time you saw a wild cow? You know, like
in America, you really like, I'm sure some places in the Midwest, you may see a wild cow, but like,
that's what I'm saying. Like
for the most part, you don't.
Non-existent. Or for that matter, when's the last time you saw a wild horse?
Actually,
I've never seen a wild horse.
Up where we just went to for Thanksgiving, right behind that area is a big BLM area, which is Mustangs, like wild Mustangs. And my sister, my little sister, has actually rescued several wild Mustangs throughout the years.
She's like, I rescued them from the wild.
Well, there's like, the problem is people keep intruding on their land and taking up their land and like forcing them to places where they no longer can like live comfortably.
Right.
So it's then easier for someone to like save those horses and or give them like a decent life than be like
their water.
Yeah. Than to be in a place where they're like, oh, we're turning your home into a shopping mall.
I don't know if it's better to be owned as a horse. Just saying.
I mean, it's better than like trying to live where they're putting up a shopping mall or something.
It's better than dying. Right? Maybe not, though. Some people would rather die than become slaves, right?
Or like a lot of these horses have been like branded by people or owned by people and then like go in the wild. I don't know. There's like a whole bunch of different reasons they're there. Maybe you should watch Spirit.
Yeah.
The movie about
that's a really tough ethical question, because we're also doing that just, you know, in inland as well, like close to their cities, the more they spread out, the more we chop up the land and force indigenous species outward, right?
Well, we just saw,
we're just talking about roadkill alone is huge, right? Just dead animals on the side of the road.
Well, you're like, why is there an otter this far away from the river?
Right. Or a deer even. Like, why is there just like a deer decapitated with its baby next to it decapitated? We saw that.
We recently were at Costco and like in the Costco parking lot was a coyote.
Right.
Not dead, obviously, but like, well, there's just like a coyote roaming around Costco.
It'd been displaced because they just built 1,000 new houses on its land. So it didn't know which way to go. Right.
Humans and
it's
suck.
Like, yeah. And it's like, it can go outward toward the country, but there's still roads, right? So it's dangerous that way too. So I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is.
Okay. So my other news topic for the week, Ghislaine Maxwell, her trial for the Epstein stuff.
Is, I've barely heard anything about it.
They just picked the jury, correct? Like they swore in the jury.
I heard about that.
I keep hearing, or not hearing, I keep seeing like memes and jokes.
I also heard
about where it's like Ghislaine Maxwell, born whatever, 1961. And then it has like the dash and then it's like two and it's like sometime next week.
Right.
As in the, like, because you know how everyone was like, oh, Epstein didn't really kill himself or he killed himself so that like the information from all these big guys didn't get out. Like, they're going to want to silence her from saying anything in court incriminating towards Prince Andrew or Bill Clinton or Donald Trump.
That's the thing I just heard about is that the driver of the plane,
the pilot,
he verified that Clinton, Prince Andrew, and a few others,
and Trump,
and people, and all those people were on the plane that had shuttled them to the island. So, like, all those people were on. Like, pretty much guaranteed. Like, I feel like the pilot doesn't really have a reason to lie. Honestly, the only reason that they would lie is because they were being coerced, probably, into doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so they're actually telling the truth, I think, probably. It's so hard. Yeah, it's a tough one.
But they're definitely going to try to, like, silence her from saying anything in court. That's...
Maybe. Like, I'm surprised she hasn't tried to make a deal.
I mean, she might, honestly, like, couldn't she go into court the first day and, like, take a plea deal or whatever?
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. They have been depriving her of sleep because they're afraid she's going to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. So they've been, like flipping on the lights, like, every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, checking on her. Like, so she's looks, like, ragged.
Yeah.
Which I don't really blame them because I do think she's guilty.
Oh, but she's for sure guilty.
Yeah.
But it'll just be interesting to see how it plays out.
It's like I almost would prefer to put her into like a, what do you call it? Like secret, like where they redo her identity and put her in a home somewhere.
Honestly.
Like, and then have like those guys that actually abuse the women be prosecuted. I don't know.
Like, well, if you could one, catch more I want of them prosecuted. I don't know if she... She may have abused people too. We don't really know all of the details.
Psychologically, she's totally guilty.
Well, I was going to say, like, I could see her being in like a psych ward.
A psych ward, but I'm like, speaking like she's going to need protection. Does that make sense?
Well, a psych ward is more protection than a prison.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And you have people checking on you constantly.
Yeah, and guards can be bribed, right, to like do shady stuff.
But like nurses and doctors, they may drug you nonstop for years, but...
Well, I was thinking like maybe, what's it where you're relocated?
The amnesty, witness protection witness program.
Yeah.
But she's not like a witness protection. Like, but the thing is, I feel like she could take a deal where they let her off if she gives them a certain amount of information.
A lot.
About,
every ounce of information. Yeah. Yeah. And it wouldn't be let off. It would be like witness protection. Like, we're going to be keeping our eye, and when we need more information, we're going to be coming
And we're
back.
Probably going to tell everyone you're dead.
Yeah, they're not going to just like let her off, like, because they need to verify all the information, you know, and like.
Is Epstein really dead?
I don't know. I imagine so. Yeah. Conspiracy Based on the documentary. Theories. Seeing the documentary, though, and seeing like how he interacted, he was very much like not thinking on the conspiracy level of things. He was thinking like, how can I get away with this for as long as I can kind of thing.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that people can change their biases?
Absolutely.
But can you?
Well, you can definitely become aware of them.
I think you can become aware of them, and you can be mindful of them, and you can like train yourself to not act on your biases. But won't those biases always kind of be there?
What, like favoring a certain color of person over another?
Mm-hmm. Like, even if you don't act on that and you go, oh, I'm aware that I favor
like subconsciously
white people, so I'm going to hire a black person. Like, you still have those biases, right. Even if you're not acting on them and you're acting opposite of those biases.
That's acting on the bias, yeah.
Then you still, like, you still have the bias,
right?
Though,
I'm always
right?
advocating for that. I'm like, the opposite doesn't make it right. Like, doing the opposite of your bias isn't right. Does that make sense? Sometimes your bias might be right. Like, if you're like, oh, like, this dude's got a tat, he's all tatted up, he's hollering at underage women, like, he's waving his gun around outside his window, this guy's probably a gangster,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's a bias, and it probably keeps you safe.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to be like, hey, bro, you probably had a real tough life.
So for a long time, I was thinking about this for quite a while today. I was like, I don't think you can change your biases. But then I decided that I think you can.
I think you can too.
But I think it's not being mindful of it. I think it's educating yourself.
Well, I think bias in a lot of ways is habitual.
Mm.
And so I'm not saying like you should always favor the opposite color, because that's not changing your habit. That's just like smashing over your old habit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even really changing the habit. You're just like altering it. It would be like, oh, guess what? I'm addicted to drugs, but I'm only addicted to this drug, and I'm going to stop this drug by taking this other drug.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I'm going to stop drinking alcohol, and I'm going to start taking painkillers. Do you see what I mean?
So this leads into my last topic of the episode.
That was a really bad example, by the way. I don't know why.
Which we were listening to, like I said, that But Am I Wrong podcast. And Megan had mentioned that in a previous episode, she had been debating between like the people who say that you can manifest things in your life.
Oh, yeah.
So do you feel... Or do you think that people can manifest their own lives, like being rich, being happy, being successful, like being healthy? Do you think people manifest that?
So I'm going to be honest with you. I never once thought about manifestation until I lived in California for like 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never was thinking that growing up. I was never like, manifest destiny until I got to California.
I had a shirt in high school.
Right. That's a very like progressive thing.
Okay, so I had this shirt in high school. It was brown because it was the early 2000s when people wore brown, and it had like yellow like graphic print on it, and I had a boom box and it said manifest yourself,
right?
And that was like my shirt that I wore. Like, it was like my favorite shirt. I think I wore it for like class photos.
Nice. So I guess to answer your question, then,
it's a very California thing for
well
sure.
No, the answer to the question is like, when I, what is this saying? I'll believe it when I see it.
I mean,
when I see it,
I think,
or what is it? I'll see it when I believe it.
I think how they phrased it in that podcast was very interesting, because they're like, well, like kind of like the changing your biases thing, you can create habits that will get you closer to certain things, but it also doesn't account for like,
it's like, if I believe it hard enough, does it make it true?
Like,
no,
you're not going to be there and be like, oh, I'm going to manifest having blonde hair and blue eyes, and I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have blonde hair and blue eyes, because if I think it hard enough, it'll happen.
Like, no, that's not what, that's not even what it's about.
I know it's about like creating success for yourself or creating health and being like, oh, but I'm going to manifest my,
they made a
my
good
depression
point,
away.
Like, remember, they made a really good point. Mm-hmm. They were saying some people have kind of won the lottery of life where they're in a position, right? Mm-hmm. Being from a good, great family, being a certain color in the right place at the right time, where they can sort of see that opportunity to do that. Whereas like manifest destiny means something much greater and much different to someone who grows up in a struggle.
Yeah.
Right. Like manifest destiny might just be like getting some food on the table for your kids, you know.
You're not going to manifest COVID away.
Like, are you going to manifest some food on the table for your kids? Like, isn't that a silly thing to ask someone to do?
Like, well, they're basically saying, oh, if you want it enough, it'll happen.
Right.
And you'll but get like, that. And you'll like find a way to get it because you want it hard enough.
Like, spiritually, and yes, I'm right there with you. But logically, that's the most redonkulous thing.
Redonkulous.
In the whole world. Like spiritually, I'm like, yeah, like totally. You can manifest it. Like go out with a positive attitude and go get that thing, you know, like whatever you got to do without hurting people and like, you know, be positive or whatever and get the money or whatever you got to do. But realistically, logically, you have to be smart about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's a coy that people use to manipulate
a
people.
A coy?
Yes.
Like a koi fish?
Like.
Or a ploy.
A con. It's like a koi.
Like a con ploy.
Never heard of koi before? It's like a play. It's like a play, you know, like, you know, I don't have to define it. You can look it up in the dictionary.
Okay. Are we going to have birch now?
Yeah.
About that.
A koi. So yeah, like it's a, you know, a thing that happens. And I think it's easy to like, trick a bunch of people into believing that exists. And then you've kind of like, you know, created a base, right?
Yeah.
A spiritual base.
I'm like, I'm going to start manifesting getting younger. I'm kidding.
Well, you know, that is really an internal thing, don't you think?
Like I'm going to start Benjamin buttoning it up over here.
Yeah, but you know, your inner soul should always stay young. Mm. Right? Like it should never be old. Like, you know, that whole like thing where they say be like child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be 32 in less than 2 weeks.
Well, to live in the present is to be like the child, right? Like there's nobody who lives in the present like the child.
There's no one who lives in the present quite like our dog.
Our dog?
Always in the present. Mm. Never in the future, never in the past.
You know, I've been reading a lot of Mark Twain religion.
I was actually reading a mindfulness magazine today, or Mindful magazine. I don't remember exactly what it's called. They were talking about how people lose focus so easily and how to stay focused and in the moment. And a lot of it and a lot of stress comes from time, like mental time travel. Like you're either in the past or the future, like right. Mentally. And that staying present is the best way to stay focused.
Yeah.
And stress-free.
I agree. Also, something that they mention in religion is about like the nature of things as well. And how like you have like a wolf that kills a rabbit, but that murder is like forgiven because it's the nature of the wolf to kill the rabbit. Do you see what I mean? And so that gets me thinking about like what's the nature of things, you know, and I don't think the nature of things is to be dwelling in the future or the past.
I agree. Right?
Like killing the rabbit is acceptable in God's eyes because it's living in the present, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what it does. It's his nature. Just as the pig, you know, looks for roots and nestles the ground, like it's his nature. As the raccoon, you know, cleans a coin.
Cleans a coin. Okay, so that is all for this episode of 130, but we will talk to you on Friday for yet another episode. Ciao.
Bonjour. How do you say it? Bonjour.
Bonjour is hello.
Bon voyage. Bon voyage.
Aloha.
All right. Adios.